I should like to ask a question today, and with the help of the Lord, seek to answer it. The question is this: is the end of this age of grace near at hand? Now, when we speak of the age of grace, we mean that period of time unfolded in the Bible that began with the coming of the Spirit of God and which will close with the coming of Christ from heaven. When the Spirit of God came into the world, He formed believers into one body, and ever since, every believer who has put trust in Christ as a Savior has been baptized by the Spirit into that one body known as the church. Now there's coming a time when that church will be completed, when the Lord Himself will come to the air, and He will raise the bodies of the believing dead, whose spirits and souls are now with Him in the glory, and He will change the bodies of the living believers here on earth, and take all in glorified bodies home to the Father's house, the house that He has prepared. Now, is that time near, when the Lord shall come? The end of that day of grace, is it near? I wish to show today from Scripture that it is definitely near at hand. Yes, right at the door. I wish to consider this from its natural aspect as well as its spiritual aspect. What I mean by that is, for instance, we shall consider three things taking place in the world today that indicate that that age is near. Three things that Scripture projects by Scripture that which will characterize the days of the last times. First, let me remind you of the Lord's own words in Matthew 24:32, when He says, "When ye see the fig tree putting forth leaves, then ye know that summer is nigh." Now, Israel is a picture of the fig tree is a picture of the nation of Israel. And the putting forth leaves signifies the activity of that nation of Israel. Now, mind you, Israel has been a nation now for over 20 years. And certainly, there's activity which draws the attention of the whole world at this present time. Also in Luke 21, the Lord Jesus speaks of all the trees in connection with the fig tree. That is, the nations around Israel and the activities of these nations in connection with the activities of Asia, of the nation of Israel, is that which points to the fact that summer is nigh. The Lord is coming. The end of the day of grace is at hand, and the day of judgment is near. Then I want to draw your attention to the fact that Daniel made a prophecy that the Roman Empire would be revived. Now we see the activity in Western Europe, that the stage is being now set for the fulfillment of this prophecy. The Western nations of Europe are uniting in a common market, not only for economical reasons, but for political ones as well. All is being set, I say, as a stage for the last development of this Gentile supremacy and power, this which shall be brought to complete destruction when the Lord Jesus Christ comes from heaven with all His saints to judge the world in righteousness. I say, this is another sign that that time is near at hand. Now, the third thing is that which we read in 2 Peter 2 and Jude, the moral corruption and the violence that is to fill the earth. And I quote what these writers say. They write of filthy dreamers, those who defile the flesh, those who despise government or dominion, those who speak evil of dignities or government officials. Do we not see this being fulfilled today? Why, it is not only in this country, but throughout the world. And I say these three things. First, the activity of Israel and the nations surrounding Israel. The activity in Western Europe in having the stage set for the revival of the Roman Empire. And then third, the moral corruption and violence and the despising of government and the speaking evil of government officials, all this in the natural aspect, in the natural realm, shows that we are in the end of this age of grace. Now I wish to consider further three scriptures that take up the spiritual aspect of this. The aspect that has definite reference to the church, the professing church in earth today. The first scripture that I would turn to is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is writing to these saints in Thessalonica, and he says that in these days there shall come a falling away. I just want to consider this. A falling away or an apostasy. That is, a turning away from the truth once held. In the early days of the church's history, the Bible was regarded as the verbally inspired word of God, such as it is. It hasn't changed any. And that word enfolded for us the deity of Christ, the need of the blood atonement, the ruin of man by sin, the necessity for his new birth, and then the wonderful truth of the sealing of the Spirit, and the formation of the church as the one body with Christ as its only head, and then the truth in connection with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his saints, and then the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with his saints to set up his kingdom. I say these truths, these fundamental truths, are being turned away from and ridiculed. I tell you, dear friend, this is a sign that the apostasy has already begun to set in. And this will continue to develop till the Lord takes the church home, and then it will bloom out in its fullness. When the Antichrist will be revealed, we'll see the culmination of the apostasy in the Antichrist, that one who will set himself up in the temple saying that he is God. And I'll tell you, those who are left behind at the rapture will believe that he is the Christ. They will be deceived. Why? Because God will allow them to be. He will send his government upon them. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What solemn words these are. What a warning to every mere professor of Christianity today. Is my listener just a mere professor of Christianity? You may have joined a church, you may have been baptized, but you have never been born again? I tell you, dear friend, we are living in the time when the apostasy is set in. The Lord Jesus is going to close the day of grace shortly, and unless you're prepared by being born again and saved by his grace, when he comes, you'll be amongst those who will come knocking at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. What solemn words. Will you not be alerted to the fact that you need to be turned to Christ in time, and now is the time? The second scripture I would ask that you turn to is found in 2 Timothy, in chapter 3. Here again we see and read of characteristics of the last days. The Spirit of God begins in verse 1 by saying, this know also that in the last days perilous or difficult times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now listen to these things. And if you have your Bible handy, open up and find and let the words penetrate your eyes as well as going into your heart and your ears. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And then the Spirit of God says to the true believer, from such turn away. But do you not recognize all of these characteristics? I'm sure that you would say, why, this is just exactly what we have around us today, and it is. This is another proof that we are in the end of the day of grace. We are in those last days now, and the coming of the Lord is drawing near at hand. The third scripture that I would ask that you turn to with me is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. Here again, you'll notice the apostle says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In the first scripture, in 2 Thessalonians 2, we notice there would be an apostasy, a turning away from the truth of God, paving the way for the Antichrist. This we see in the professing church today. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we noticed that in the last days in the professing church, there's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, that is the reality of the Spirit of God, the power of Christ himself as to his deity. And then there's lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Oh, dear friend, this is another proof that we are in the last days. But now here, Peter brings before us this fact that there are scoffers, mockers, those who ridicule the fact that the Lord is coming. Well, how natural this is. You know, men who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, who do not honor his word, do certainly not want to see him and don't want to believe in his second coming. How many there are today who scoff at this, who ridicule it, and who are deceived in saying that the world hasn't changed any. Oh, those who have eyes to see will recognize that the world is increasing worse and worse. Men are being deceived more and more by their own hearts and their own unbelief. God would warn us of that fact right here, and he would in this way assure us that the coming of the Lord is at hand. The last days are upon us. And these who are ignorant of the fact the Lord is coming are willingly ignorant, Peter says in verse 5. But God is not to be mocked. He is going to send his Son in judgment upon this world. In fact, the world today is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Dear friend, the only hope for this world is the coming of Christ. He's going to take the true believer out of the world before he judges it in righteousness. And oh, I trust today that you will make sure that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ by being saved by his grace. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that you should perish. Peter speaks of that in verse 9. He's not slack concerning his promise, not willing that any should perish. He longs that you should come to him in repentance. He longs that you should own that you are a sinner. And yet he loves you. The proof of his love is seen in the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world to die for you. Have you ever considered the true meaning of the cross? Christ came to die for the ungodly. He came to die for sinners. And he did die for sinners. He is the substitute for all who will trust in him. God punished him for your sin, dear friend, if you will have him as your Savior. The Lord Jesus shed his blood for your sins to wash them away, that you might be made fit for the presence of God, if you will believe on him. Oh, will you not today realize that he has extended this day of grace to this very moment, even though we are in the last days? Today, right this moment, is still the day of salvation. He desires your salvation. Peter in the same epistle says, the long-suffering of God is salvation. I would today urge you to turn to Christ. I wonder if you are asking the question, well, what must I do to prepare for the end of the last days? That's a good question. I hope that you're asking it, because I have the answer for you from the Word of God. Dear friend, we have shown that we are without doubt in the last days. When we saw Israel as a nation, when we realize the activity in the Western Europe, when we see the moral corruption in the world today, the despisings of government, the state of anarchy coming in. When we see in the part of professing Christendom a turning away from the truth, the apostasy already set in. when we see also the lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, the form of godliness and denying the power thereof, and when we see here scoffers ridiculing the truth of God and the reality and fact of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, we are in the last days. You must be prepared or you will be left behind for judgment. What can you do? I would say simply, first of all, face this issue, the matter of your soul's eternal destiny right now. Come just as you are in repentance to God. And then put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again. Simply accept him as your own personal Savior. He will receive you. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You will then have a Savior. You'll have a counselor. You'll have a protector. And oh, how you will need such a one in these days. And then you will have the sure hope that at the closing moment of this day of grace, when the Savior comes and takes his own, you will be among that number. You will be in the glory. You will be delivered from the wrath to come. God grant that you will come today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Loving God, our Father, we thank thee that even though we are in the last days, that now this very moment is the day of salvation. And we ask that thou will bless the message of thy word today, this very moment, to every listener, that each one will be alerted to his danger, be awakened to his need, and be drawn by the cords of love to Christ and be saved, be prepared for his coming and the close of this day of grace. We just commend thy word then to thee and ask thy blessing. In the Savior's most worthy and precious name, amen.